Second Chronicles 20. We'll read from the first verse.
It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his infallible and holy word. In Psalm 107 and verse 27, the Bible says of some, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. They are at their wit's end. I don't know if you've ever been there, but Spurgeon, I believe it was, who talked about being oftentimes at wit's end corner. And sometimes in the Christian life, you're brought to that place. You're at an end of yourself. You're at, to use the phrase, wit's end corner. You literally do not know what to do. Well, here is a word from the Lord for such a situation. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. The full verse goes like this. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I would suggest to you that a good title for this message would be, What to Do When You Are at Wit's End Corner. You see, these words were spoken by the ruler of the nation, by King Jehoshaphat, a godly man. We know that he had his moments when he did that which was not right. He was condemned by the prophet Jehu for making alliance, for joining an affinity with Ahab. And the Lord had to say to him through that prophet, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Nevertheless, you will find, despite his aberration, so to speak, in that area, that by and large, Jehoshaphat was a godly man. He loved the Lord and he sought to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But like other men, and all Christians really can identify with this, even a king has the same experience as someone who is a pauper, there are times of trouble that come into your life. And here are words, the words that I've just read in verse 12, that were spoken by Jehoshaphat at a time of tremendous trouble for his nation and for his people and for himself. Seeing the enemy coming against them in great numbers, and realizing the overwhelming odds of defeat in battle if they went out in their own strength against that enemy, Jehoshaphat did what we all should do in such circumstances. He prayed unto the Lord. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. God's people do face dilemmas at times. Things that come into their life's experience that would cause them also to say, neither know we what to do. At times, this is our position. This is our situation. We simply don't have a clue what to do in the given situation. We know not where to turn. We have no idea, humanly speaking, how to escape from the present crisis. But in such times, can we not say with Jehoshaphat unto the Lord, but our eyes are upon thee? Because you see, this is the only solution when you are at wit's end corner. You must look to the Lord. You must continue to look to the Lord. And when you do that, several things come to our mind that are definitely true. When our eyes are truly upon the Lord, and I want to speak about this tonight, the first thing that we can do is this. We can truly evaluate the situation. A lot of times we make judgments based on circumstances. We make judgments that are based on our own feelings in those circumstances, and we come up with the wrong conclusion. And we wrongly evaluate the situation. For example, there are times when believers have been sick, physically sick, when they've had some illness that has come upon them or some injury that they've had, and they conclude right away, God is punishing me for something wrong that I have done. The Lord is angry with me. There's some reason why God has allowed this to come into my life. It must be because I've done something really terrible and the Lord is against me. That's the conclusion that people sometimes reach. And they're evaluating the situation that they're in based upon what their own hearts are telling them. But in such circumstances as that, oftentimes I believe the Lord's people, and that's who I'm talking about, they see things wrongly. They don't see things the way they really are. Now I want you to notice here how Jehoshaphat evaluated the situation that he and his nation were in. In verse 12, our text, he evaluates, he sums up the situation very, very well. He refers to the fact that the enemy is powerful. He speaks of this great company. And it was a great company. Back in verse 2, we discover that there came some who told Jehoshaphat the good news. People love to tell you bad things, don't they? There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Now, who were they? Verse 1 records who they were, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon. And with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. This was a huge company, a huge amalgamation of enemies coming against the Lord's people. If you go down to verse 15 of the same chapter, you see that he mentions, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And again in verse 24, it's emphasized, they looked unto the multitude. So there were a lot of people. There were a lot of enemies. This was no small force that they were up against. And if I might apply that spiritually to our own lives and even to our own situation in the Church of Christ today, the forces that come against the Lord's people personally and individually, the forces that come against them as far as the work of God is concerned, they're great and they're strong. The enemies of God are great and many. Think of the false religion that is abroad today. Not only do we consider the great world religions, Islam with all its teeming millions, Romanism and other offshoots of Romanism like the Greek Orthodox and other Orthodox and Coptic churches. We think of all the cults that are abroad and the many millions of adherents that they have. The so-called Jehovah's Witnesses, if ever there was a misnomer, that's one. The Mormons or the Church of Latter-day Saints and other cults. Religiously, we can say the forces of evil are great. We have so much false religion out there, it's not real. I remember when I first came to Allentown, I looked in the morning call newspaper on a Saturday, and I was shocked. Because where I come from in the city of Belfast, in the Belfast Telegraph of a Saturday night, there used to be, I think, a full page given to church advertisements. But in Allentown, the church advertisements took up, I think, four or five of these big pages. And the biggest ad was about 2 inches by half an inch. And I thought, look at the churches and religious organizations that there are. And then I started going through them and thinking, I wonder how many of these are evangelical. Boy, the number that I could have put on the page would have been like one little small corner of one of those pages. It certainly wasn't a lot. And I began to think to myself, false religion is alive and well. The enemies of God and of truth are many. But apart from that, think about the secular so-called enemies of truth. Think of the forces of secularism and humanism and paganism that there are out there. Think of those who oppose all things religious and any mention of God in the public place or any other place. The forces that we face are great and they're strong. Many are the foes of righteousness. Many are our own personal enemies. The devil is against us. The world is against us. And as Augustine said, Lord, deliver me from that evil man, myself. The flesh is against us. Many and great and strong are the enemies that we face. Jehoshaphat used the term, this great company. The enemy is powerful. Of that there is no doubt. But in evaluating the situation, and Jehoshaphat did that by having his eyes upon the Lord, he could not only see the size of the enemy, that the enemy is powerful, but we are powerless. He realized that as well. For we have little might. No, he didn't say that. He said, for we have no might. That means no strength against this great company that cometh against us. We have zero strength. We are powerless. And not only do we not have any strength, we don't have the wisdom that we need because we know not what to do. And is this not our own situation as the Lord's people? And when you think about the church, you think about an individual congregation such as this, or you think about a denomination such as we belong to, or even broaden that out to wider evangelicalism and those who seek to preach the truth. We're a feeble host. We are a feeble host. How few there are today who preach the truth. How few there are who stand for God's word, who are willing to stand up and to say, this is what God says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. We are powerless. But if our eyes are unto the Lord, we can see another great reality. Not only that the enemy is powerful, we know that's true, we are powerless. That's also equally true. But God is all powerful. Look at verse 12 again. O our God. And it's good to be able to say that. Not just O God, but O our God. The God who is on our side. Wilt thou not judge them? Think of this great multitude, this great host of enemies of God's people. And yet he's praying, Lord, will you not deal with them? Wilt thou not judge them? God is all powerful. That was certainly in the mind of the Lord's servant here. He said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, the God of heaven, the Lord. And we see that throughout this passage. It speaks of the Lord in various ways. It speaks of him as our God in several places here. But in verse number 3, it begins, he set himself to seek the Lord. The word Lord is in small capitals. It's the word for Jehovah. It's the covenant-keeping God. It's the God who is the great I Am. Again, that's mentioned again twice in verse 4, to ask help of Jehovah. They came to seek Jehovah. Verse 6, you'll see that he mentions, O Jehovah, God of our fathers. God of our fathers. The God who our fathers worshipped. The God who our forebears worshipped. Who knew the Lord's help in their day. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? This was the vision that Jehoshaphat had of a God who is all powerful, the Lord who is able to help. Our eyes are upon thee. Is that where our eyes are tonight? When we look around us and we see the situation that our nation is in religiously, situation that it's in economically, we see the situation that it's in politically, we see the wicked forces that are on every hand. Can we honestly say that our eyes are upon the Lord?
that we're looking to Him. If our eyes are not upon the Lord, we can't properly evaluate the situation. God is all-powerful. We used to sing when I was a child in Sunday school, God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He will remember His own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. In circumstances such as this, like Jehoshaphat, we can evaluate the situation truly, but we can also truly anticipate the salvation. Notice from verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. This is a word from the Lord. This is a word that's given by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. It says that in verse 14. Here's a man who is identified here as Jehazael, the son of Zechariah. He is a Levite of the sons of Asaph, one of those who led in song. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, and here's the message that he gives, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. What a wonderful promise they heard. As he goes on, he tells them what will happen. Verse 16, here's what you're to do. Tomorrow go you down against them. Here's where they're going to come to. You're going to find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. But here's the promise. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. What a promise. What a word to galvanize the people of God. The Lord would be with them. And is the Lord not with us? Think of that promise. It's so familiar to us. Sometimes we lose the force and the effect of it. Matthew 28:20, where the Lord Jesus, speaking in the Great Commission, said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It was David Livingstone who apparently had this as his favourite text. I've told this story many times, that when Livingstone died, he died in a kneeling posture in a mud hut in Africa. He was leaning over a little straw bed, and his New Testament was opened at Matthew 28. And at verse 20 he had written a little note beside it, beside these words, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It is the word of a gentleman of the truest kind. It is the word of a gentleman. It's a word that we can trust. It's a word that we can take to heart. Is the Lord not with us? Lo, I am with you always. Oh Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, thou art with us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us in our individual battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can keep our eyes upon Him and look to Him for victory and for help. The Lord is with us as we seek to testify and minister for Him in what is an evil generation, in a day when so few people have any time for God or the things of God. The Lord is able to help us to maintain our testimony and to see what we might call success in being able to rescue some from the burning. One time I had the occasion to visit at a hospital bed. I was a very young man at the time, teenager. I was with this preacher, and the man that we visited was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. This man had been prayed for much. I remember visiting him a number of times with this preacher. This one particular day was the last time we ever visited him. The man was yellow, full of jaundice. His liver was giving out. He was dying. I remember that day the preacher talking to him again about his need of Christ, urging him to come to the Savior. I remember that man hadn't even the strength to say anything. I remember the preacher saying to him, if you will take Christ as your Lord and Savior today, would you squeeze my hand? And I saw that man just squeeze the preacher's hand. We had to leave it there. We had to leave it there. Who knows? But we had every hope and every confidence that the Lord had answered our prayers and the prayers of that man's daughter and bringing him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the preacher saying to me when we left the hospital that day, he said, "Son, the Bible says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." And that's found in the book of Jude. And he said, that's what we were involved in today. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I trust that that man was truly saved. I believe God is able to do that. I believe God is able to save to the uttermost. But listen, we can anticipate the salvation because of the promise that we have also heard from the Lord, which is that he will be with us in all that we do. I'm reminded when I read these words, "Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you," of what happened in Exodus chapter 14. Because that was a time of great crisis in the life of the people of Israel. Moses was the leader at that time. "Fear ye not," Moses said unto the people, "fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Almost the same thing as the Lord told his servant Jehoshaphat through this prophet Jehazael. Almost the same message. "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not nor be dismayed," says verse 17. "Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." We can anticipate the salvation. But notice, as well as the promise they heard, there's the praise they shared. 2 Chronicles 20 from verse 19 to verse 21 records, "And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning." And it says later on in that verse that the message was, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Look at the praise that they shared. You see, there was an anticipation of the Lord's help. Notice carefully, the help of the Lord had not yet been given when they were singing in praise to him. You know, it's a good thing to praise God for answered prayer before the answers to prayer ever come. You ever done that? We need to do that. My wife remembers this story very well. A man that we both were associated with in some way when we first went over to Scotland, who was really under God responsible for us being there. When he was a very young man, he was a very talented footballer, soccer player. And his mother had a great burden that he might be saved and not seek a career in professional soccer. And he was actually over by Hampden Park, Glasgow, playing in a soccer game. And his mother had been praying that the Lord would save his precious soul. And the Lord saved that young man on the soccer field. And when he came home to tell his mother that he had come to Christ, his mother said, "I know, son. I already know." And some little hall that she was associated with, she had already made the arrangement for him to give his testimony in that hall later that week. She was able to praise the Lord for answered the prayer before it ever came. That's an amazing thing. But even though we may not share the same kind of faith as that, though the Lord can give us that kind of faith, we can still anticipate God's help. We can anticipate the salvation of the Lord that he will show to us.
His blessing upon our own lives, His blessing upon the church, the salvation of precious souls. We can anticipate that, and we can certainly share in the praise of the Lord. Jehoshaphat and his people did that because their eyes were upon the Lord. And there's a third thing here. If our eyes are upon the Lord truly, then we will participate in the salutation. And that is the song of victory after the battle is won. Look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the people rejoiced in the Lord's blessing. And verses 27 and 28 record how that they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. What were they coming to do? They were coming to participate in the salutation. They were coming to praise God in song again. We will be able to do that as we rejoice in answers to prayer. Are we looking to the Lord in every situation? Maybe there's some situation that you're facing tonight and nobody else knows anything about it but you and the Lord. And perhaps at this very moment, this is a thought that's in your own heart. Lord, I haven't got any might. And I don't know what to do. But my eyes are upon Thee. May the Lord help us to look to the Lord in every situation, especially when we're overwhelmed by the odds that are against us. Sometimes in this life we say the odds are stacked against us. But there's no such thing as that when the Lord is on our side. Someone once said, one with God is a majority. How true that is. If the Lord is on our side, then we are on the victory side, whoever might be against us. Whatever the forces that we have to face, personally or in the Church of Jesus Christ. I think of some other portions that would go along with the portion that we're reading here. Psalm 25 is a case in point. We're in the opening part of the chapter. He says, unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Our eyes are upon the Lord. In Psalm 123, the Bible records these words. Psalm 123, unto Thee lift I up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. That's where our vision ought to be. And finally, Psalm 141, verse 8. But mine eyes are unto Thee, O God the Lord. In Thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. We're in the place of prayer tonight. There are needs that we have in the Lord's work. There are needs that we have personally. Maybe there are some unspoken needs. Things that you can't really articulate before others for some reason or other. And that's fine. But oh, that tonight our eyes might be upon the Lord. Even though it may be true that we're in a situation and we're not really quite sure what way to turn. We're kind of, where that situation is concerned, at wit's end corner. But may it be true of us tonight. But our eyes are upon Thee. And surely if our eyes are upon the Lord, then we will be looking up to Him in prayer. We'll be asking Him to intervene. We'll be depending on Him to give the victory. And the Lord is able to do that. We're not to be afraid, for the battle the Bible says, is not yours, but God's. The Lord will be with you. May the Lord be with us tonight as we seek him and in the days that are yet to come. Amen.